Good morning. To continue with Man Was Not Born to Cry, we will cover Chapter 9, Spiritual Dominion. Now, this chapter may be uncomfortable for you, but I guarantee you it's uncomfortable for me as well. I'm sure my motivations will be questioned, and that's just the way it goes. The title of this chapter, Spiritual Dominion, might be called Spiritual Dominion Through Sonship. There are principles in this chapter which, if you will follow them, will lead to your freedom in Christ, your freedom in Christhood, and to dominion over the self, the false sense of self, the false sense of universe, or this world. And so I'm going to tell you the principles, whether you like it or not. And then you can either live them or just go on as if you hadn't heard them. Joel starts us in this chapter with, all human experience testifies to the very opposite of Robert Browning's words, which are, truth is within ourselves. There is an inmost center in us all, where the truth abides in fullness, and to know rather consists in opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape, than in effecting entry for a light supposed to be without. And we all have heard over and over about opening out a way for the imprisoned splendor to escape. And here he states, all human experience testifies to the very opposite of Robert Browning's words. So, all human experience would have us believe that we have to go out and get everything that we're taught growing up. We're taught to, well, depending on our family backgrounds, we're taught to get a good education, get a good job, get all the material possessions that a modern family should have, get a savings, get some IRAs, some CDs, get some property. Get. And we're taught to do that in a proper way, abiding by the law. Of course, if our background is from a little bit of a shady family, then we're taught to sneak around and get. Break the law here and there where you can, and where you can get away with it. We are taught to get by cheating, stealing, lying, maybe just conning someone, scamming. Nevertheless, we're still trying to get. We even applaud those who get in this fashion if they get away with it, such as D.B. Cooper, who was the first person to ask for, I think it was $1 million, and then he, while he was hijacking an airliner, and then he took that $1 million in a suitcase and jumped out of an airplane with a parachute. Somewhere over Washington, was it? They never found him. That character was was put up on a pedestal. Even made a movie. How cool is that? And now I tell you, D.B. Cooper and the person who's an upright, law-abiding citizen and maybe is in the business of taking over other businesses, there's no difference between the two. They're suffering from the same world belief, which is that you have to go out and get. One of them's abiding by our human laws, and one of them isn't. They both feel they have to go out and get. They both feel the very opposite of Robert Browning's words. And so, I guess we can probably tell from the very first page what this chapter is going to be about. And it's going to be about reversing that belief, overcoming that belief inside of yourself. He says here on the next page, "To what ridiculous ends we go in an effort to find an alibi for our personal failures. There's only one reason for our ills, misfortunes, and discords, and that is spiritual ignorance or spiritual unawareness." You see, if you are unaware that there's a presence within you, then you, like these characters, let's say Billy the Kid and Bonnie and Clyde, you're going to feel that you have to go out there and take it, whether by polite, charming means or downright dastardliness. You're going to go out and take it. And if you do have the awareness of an inner grace, then you're going to live differently. And that's what this chapter is about. You know, I have dealings with hundreds of people online and in my day-to-day life. And no one has to open their mouth in order for me to tell if they've discovered these principles. And you'll see why as we move through and into this chapter. So it says, "The power to control their destiny lies within themselves." And that's what this is about. Do you really want sonship? Do you really want to know how to live by this grace? Well, the principles will be given to you today, and then you must choose. It is only those who, through some inner grace, are led to spiritual teaching who become immune to the things of this world. There is a way. There is a way to become immune to the things of this world. And that is to discover and to live in your sonship. The human race has lost their dominion because of surrendering their dominion through ignorance of their true identity. Now, ignorance doesn't mean like the illiterate that can't read or write. Ignorance means you have no conscious awareness of your true identity. And so you live as a human being. You live as Bonnie and Clyde, or you live by proper, upright, law-abiding rules, but you still don't know your true identity. You see, this whole concept, this whole idea of good and bad is part of the illusion. Now, I'm not saying go out here today and be bad, because it doesn't matter. Because if you sow that, you'll reap that. I'm saying that if you are hypnotized into the belief that you are human, whether you are living out as a good human being or whether you're living out as a bad human being, you're still living out as a human being. Which is why Joel says there are countless good people that come nowhere near the kingdom of heaven. It's not about the religious ideas we were taught as children, not to be bad, but to be good. It's about not to be. Shakespeare had it right. To be or not to be is the question. Not to be good or to be bad is the question. No, to be or not to be. So, ignorance or spiritual unawareness of your true identity is the real crux of the matter. The basis of all mystical teaching, says Joel, is that I and my Father are one. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. To take these passages into consciousness and abide with them, living with them day after day, restores to an individual the awareness of his true identity. The student begins to realize the nature of the word I. We are talking about how to live in, as, and through your Christhood. How to step out of a universal belief in humanhood or a separate sense of self. And we are talking about the spiritual dominion you have as you live out from your Christhood. And so he says there is no power and no enemy without. All power is given unto me from on high. There is a place where there is a state of consciousness where you recognize you are the Christ. And you live out from that Christhood. And you know that the source of all that you have is flowing from the Father. You don't have to go out and get. You don't have to be nice and charming to influence someone or some group of people to give it to you. And you don't have to be mean and nasty and pull a gun or a knife and take it. It doesn't flow from there. So, here we go. The important part of this chapter is starting now. Deny thyself. You know, the prodigal son is not about a man who lived out here and wasted his substance on riotous living and went to feed the pigs. It has nothing to do with out here. The prodigal son is you and me. And it has to do with us living based on the belief of a separate sense of self, a personal self that has to go out and get. Christhood begins to restore to us our freedom as we make the return to the Father's house, meaning we turn away from the belief in a separate sense of self, and we turn within to the Father consciousness. And then we live out from that consciousness. We are no longer a separate sense of self seeking something from that consciousness, seeking something for ourselves, we begin to live as the Christ, or Christ liveth in me, and we take on a whole different way of life, a way of life in which that Christ flows out from us, flows out through us. We become, well, we learn how to deny any separate sense of self, stand on the principle that we draw our good from the Father consciousness, but we draw it in order to pour it out, in order to allow the flow to pour through. That's how we demonstrate our Christhood. Not when good things come to us, but when that grace flows out through us. And so, this is the part that is hard to do. Joel says, having returned now to the Father consciousness and become dead to himself, dead to personal self, personality, and personal possessions, he comes to the realization all that the Father has is his. Therefore, he now seeks to share and to give. It is an outflow, not an inflow. This is the sign, one of the signs I look for if a person is making spiritual progress. Is something flowing out through them? Have they made contact with that Father consciousness? Is it flowing out? Or are they still trying to get? Joel says, insignificant you and I, who of ourselves are really nothing, suddenly become the source through which flows infinite wisdom, love, companionship, supply, forgiveness, and infinite good in every form. It flows through us, out to the world. Jesus was quick to admit that of his own self he was nothing, but we all know what has gone out through him to the world. Think how unimportant Jesus must have been as a Hebrew rabbi. It was only when he perceived that he was nothing that he became all. That's beautiful. It was only when he perceived he was nothing that he became everything. And so the transformation is all within consciousness. We turn ye and live. We turn from a personal sense of self and living from that basis, which is trying to acquire and get, even in proper ways. We turn from all that. We turn to the Father consciousness. We return home to our source. And in our admission of nothingness of ourselves, the Father's grace begins to flow, and it pours out through us as love, companionship, wisdom, supply, forgiveness, and infinite good. We are an instrument for all of this to flow out through us. Says Joel, one of the first realizations that comes to every person who has a spiritual experience is his unimportance as a person. But suddenly, in that nothingness and seemingly from nowhere, the light dawns and something begins to flow out from within to the whole world. Just think of that. A shoemaker, he says, uneducated, a nobody, becomes the father of a long line of mystics. Brother Lawrence, who wrote the masterpiece Practicing the Presence, a nothing, a nobody, cooking for other monks, has lived in the history for hundreds of years. Walt Whitman, a little insignificant printer in a shop, is one of a half a dozen people of his generation who has survived in the minds and men of men and been accepted throughout the world as a great mystic. You see, you can tell. One moment there's nothing but a little shoemaker, and the next moment he's pouring out to the world. His writings or sayings are still in print. One moment he's just a cook in a monastery. He goes out under the tree and has a spiritual experience, and this something begins to pour through. And he writes down Practicing the Presence, and it's one of the classics of all time. Here is a printer. Not much to him. And then one day he has this inner shift, and now he's in the minds of men accepted as a great mystic. You see, what you do speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say. And so now let's just tell it like it is. If you're living by these principles, I see you. I see you living by them. I see something pouring out through you. And if you're not, if you're still taking, still living in a separate sense of self, you're not pouring out. There's nothing flowing through you except human problems. Now, that's not said in a judgmental way. I don't sit and judge. I just watch. That's all. I watch. I know the truth of everyone is this Christhood. There's only one self. I am the truth of everyone. However, I know those who have come into the conscious awareness of that by their actions. And so we're going to get into that. Practice, he says, practice. We're going to get into the practice. Now, Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, who are they that are in the flesh? Does that mean if you're going and, let's say you're single and you're sleeping around? Is that what he means by in the flesh? Well, that could be a part of it, but no, that's not what he means. Well, they that are in the flesh, that means you are living out from the conscious awareness of life as a human. You and me against the world. And even if it's the even if it's not a self-pity sort of thing, even if it's a conquering sort of thing, I am going to conquer this. I am going to conquer this. I'm going to take over this entire company, a hostile takeover, and I'm going to take it. Or maybe it's just I'm going to maintain this 4.0 average, and then I'm going to, after I graduate Harvard, I'm going to become a corporate lawyer, and then I'm going to move into politics, perhaps become a senator, and I will be president of these United States of America. What's wrong with that? Well, if you're doing it from a personal sense of self, you are living in the flesh, just as much as the person that says, I'm going to build a drug dynasty, and I'm going to ship pounds and pounds of cocaine across the border, and disperse it in the inner cities. Well, now one appears bad and one appears good. And I'm not telling you it's better to be a drug dealer than it is, or a drug kingpin than it is to be president of the United States. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you are doing that from a sense, from a personal sense of self, then you are hypnotized. You are in the flesh. either one of those positions, good or bad, bad or good. This never was about that. The spiritual life is not about becoming good. As Joel says, it's a necessary step to live by the Ten Commandments, which will make you good, but it's a long way from spirituality. Even Jesus said that. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. All right? And that's what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven. So, Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living from a sense of humanhood, you cannot please God. You have no contact with God. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If and when and as you turn from that, remember, it's an inner turning. It has nothing to do with out here. You turn within, away from the sense of a separate self. You, in your meditation, learn to make contact with your Father consciousness. You turn to that. You recognize your nothingness. You become a transparency through which that Father consciousness pours out its grace. Then are you the Son of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we trade in our flesh consciousness, where we are aware only of a material world and a material human self that has to get, and we come into a new consciousness, a new Jerusalem. That is the awareness of the Father consciousness pouring itself out where we stand as our identity. That then makes all things new. All right, so here we go into the practice, and this is the part you won't like. Practice, not conversation. To help us learn how to become the sons of God and to experience the flow of this power, we should begin to live and apply the promises of Scripture until they become flesh of our flesh, blood of our blood, bone of our bone, until they become so much a part of us that we become the truth. We accept the responsibility which comes through knowing that I and the Father are one, that all that the Father has is mine. Did you know there's a responsibility that comes with accepting that? Well, we're going to tell you about it right now. And if you are not accepting that responsibility, then you're not living as the sons of God. And if you're not living as the sons of God, all things are not become new. You are in the flesh, and you cannot please God. So, choose ye. Well, I and my Father are one. All that the Father has is mine. Once that is acknowledged within, we have to begin to live and to practice it. Well, how do I live and practice I and my Father are one? All that the Father has is mine. Does that mean I say that to myself and I repeat that to myself in vain repetitions throughout the day as I go out there and get? No, it doesn't. Every day, says Joel, we must practice letting infinity flow out from us. Even though it be giving only a penny, or a bit of service here or there, or sharing a few moments of companionship. Now, I've made these talks before. I have a lot of people that write me that are suffering from a sense of a lack of supply. And I tell them the principles of supply. You have to pour out. You have to give. You have to share. If you're getting spiritual help somewhere, then give to that message to help that message flow. if you know of a charitable organization that you feel led to, give to that. But give. And I make the talk, and I put it up, and people hear it, and then they accuse me of just trying to get donations. I am telling you the principle so that you won't have a sense of a lack of supply. I'm telling you how to live out from your Christhood, and so is he here. We give what we have to give. If we have nothing to give but prayer, then we pray. You see, you're not fooling anybody. Nobody are you fooling. I know people that have been listening to talks that I make for almost 5 years. 5 years that have never even said, do you need any help? That have never sent a penny. I know people that are still struggling with this personal sense of self under the hypnotism of it, that still feel that somehow by taking in and taking in and taking in, they're going to get it. They're going to get the spiritual life. It's not going to happen that way. The whole of this chapter, the thrust of this chapter, is to make a turn within and to live as that Father consciousness pouring out through you. And so he's saying here, you've got to come into your Christhood by living it, by practicing it, by living out from it, by letting infinity flow. If you only have a penny to give, give it. If you don't have any pennies and you only have, I've said this before, and all you can do is pray, then pray. And that's what he's saying. You know, there's a scripture that says, act as though I am, and I will be, saith the Lord. You either live out from your Christhood and you demonstrate that, or you continue to be a poor, suffering human being that is unable to get what all these other people seem to be getting. This is a practice, says Joel. This is not conversation. This is not reading a book and exclaiming, oh, how lovely. This is taking it out of the book and putting it into practice. It is acknowledging that infinity dwells within. And we have only, and if we have only $1 worth of infinity at this moment, let us give 10 cents worth of it away. You see, now look, this chapter is called Spiritual Dominion. And you probably never thought of it in that way. But you gain spiritual dominion, you prove your spiritual dominion by living out from Christ, from the Father consciousness, by letting it pour out. And so you demonstrate your Christhood, your freedom from this world, from having to go out and get, by recognizing your nothingness and allowing Christ to live through you. Giving, pouring out, is how you prove your dominion. The I am overcomes the false sense of self. That's the only dominion. Christ, your Christhood, proves that you don't have to go out and get, that you're not a personal sense of self. And so he says, if you only have a dollar of infinity at this minute, you've got to make a start. You've got to practice. You can't just read about this anymore. You've got to give 10 cents worth of it away. What counts, he says, is that we make the acknowledgement that infinity is the measure of our being, and then act as though it were true. Act, act, act. Even though we act only with pennies, or if we act only with forgiveness or prayers or service. You've got to begin to pour, people. Well, there's something there. If you don't pour people, you will be poor people. The way of the spiritual life was presented to the world by the Master. He practiced doing the will of the Father by healing and feeding the multitudes and forgiving sin and praying for the enemy and teaching the lessons which he had learned of God. So there's two things there. What is the will of the Father? Healing, feeding, forgiving, praying, teaching, giving. That's the will of the Father. And as we stand here and we quote scriptures back and forth, look, who's living this way? You only have to look. If it was Walt Whitman, he was right. What you do speaks so loudly. Maybe that's Emerson. I think that's Emerson. What you do speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say. Quote all the scriptures you like. Write all the beautiful poetry you write. Are you living this? Well, if you are, then you won't be living out from a personal sense of self. You will be a transparency. And I will look, or someone else will look, and they will see healing, feeding, forgiving, praying, teaching, giving, pouring out. They will see infinity flowing through you. And so that's why we can't hide where we are on the spiritual path. Now, the way of acknowledging that while we of our own selves are nothing, all that the Father has is ours, and we can begin to share that allness. That's the way of the Father, the way of the Christ. Acknowledging that you of your own self are nothing, but you've turned to this Father consciousness, and now you begin to pour out as the Christ. It will not take too long a period of this kind of practice before things begin to come into our experience which prove to us that we have regained some measure of dominion. Now, who would have thought that you gained dominion over lack and limitation by pouring out? But you do. You do. And if you're not pouring out, well, that's why you're suffering still from a personal sense of self in lack and limitation. It's the opposite of what the world teaches. The world teaches if you're doing without, then you'd better come up with a creative way to steal it, or con it, or get it. And if you can't do it in a legal way, in a proper way, then go get on disability or welfare. Live off the state. Let the other people that are working support you. That's the way of the world, which is not meaning the world out here. It means it's the way of a universal sense of a personal self. Don't you see there is no such personal self? And living as one is the whole meaning of hypnotism? When you awaken to the Father consciousness within. And then you prove it. It's not enough to feel it inside. You have to live it. You have to prove it. And you prove it by allowing it to flow out. You start to pour. You pour dollars. You pour service. You pour love. You pour prayer. You pour forgiveness. You pour all of these things. That's how you live out your Christhood. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth. Does it? Are you pouring out? If you are, then you're no longer hypnotized. You have made the transition from a sense of personal self to the actual demonstration within and without that God is individual being pouring out through you. It's a demonstration. Eventually we realize the world is dead to me. It can do nothing to me or for me. My kingdom is not of this world. Yes, you come into the sense that there's nothing out here for you. No, you are the instrument through which God pours out. This world has nothing for me, for my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and I receive my good from the spiritual source. Joel says, too many truth students believe that their studies should bring them more material good. They have not yet reached the kingdom, and they never will reach the kingdom until they are dead to this world, or as the master phrased it, until they have overcome this world. Do you not see that if you believe that God can, how's he put it here, bring you material good? Well, I'll practice remembering God 75 times today, that God is my supply. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace is my sufficiency. And maybe I'll go to work tomorrow and find that I've been given some overtime. I used to feel that way 36 years ago or so, when I first stumbled into these principles, and it actually kind of worked that way sometimes. But that comes to an end. It comes to an end after a couple years, because we're required to go farther. That's not what these principles are about. That's the same personal sense of self, hoping that now instead of going out and taking it through force, or going out and taking it through charming persuasion and being elected to office, now we can turn to God and God will bring it to us. It's still a personal sense of self looking to get, only now we want to get it from God. You see where that leaves you in the hypnotism? And that's why it can no longer work. It works in the beginning to get you started on the path. It's kind of a trick of spirit. But then it stops working. You've got to go deeper. You've got to find out, why is that not working anymore? How come these principles aren't working anymore? It's because you're still trying to get. Only you're trying to get from God now. That means you're saying, God, please strengthen my universal personal sense of self. Please strengthen my hypnotism. You're not going to answer that kind of prayer. You go to God and you admit your nothingness. I am nothing. Now, Father, you flow. And then you open out a way. You stand there, ready, and you pour as it's revealed to you to pour. You give your pennies, you give your dollars, you give your time, you give your service. Only it's not yours you're giving. You're giving God's. Actually, you're standing aside as a witness, as God is pouring out through you, or as Christ liveth. Then you prove you are the Son of God. And what happens? I think he tells us. There may be some truth students who are not ready to go so far on the spiritual path as to be willing to give up the good things of the world, or even to acknowledge that they should not be seeking health, happiness, abundance from spirit. However, being in the world but not of it does not mean asceticism. It does not involve sackcloth and ashes. It does not involve living in poverty or in hovels. Not at all. We can be in the world and use all of its good and yet not be dependent on it or even desire it. You see, as you pour out in this way, the kingdom and every good and perfect gift, all good things are added unto you. What you find as you become the Christ is the world reflects back to you your Christhood. What you find as you stand as a transparency and pour out and let this imprisoned splendor escape, you find that it multiplies every good and perfect gift in your experience. It multiplies itself. All things are added unto you. All things are included. You find you don't lose anything. You really do demonstrate your dominion, your own supply, by giving. And so it's up to us, I said down here. If we pour, they are added. If we take, it dries up. We choose. We have the dominion. Joel says, the real beginning is made when we can accept the revelation that the kingdom of God is within us. And when this truth has been realized in some measure, we take the second step, which is one of sharing. Give companionship. Share supply. Seek only to be the instrument through which God's grace flows to the world. Ultimately, we come to the experience, says Joel, described by Paul. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Then, it is then that the student touches one of the very high rungs of the ladder of the spiritual life. Without effort, without labor, without toil, without sweat, divine inspiration is always at work within, performing that which is given him to do, and he can therefore do it without strife or struggle, without fear of failure, because even though he may seem to be doing it, it is not really he, but it is not really he that is performing it, but the he that is within him. And he himself is but the instrument through which it is being performed. In other words, through the recognition that you of yourself are nothing, that the personal sense of self is a universal hypnotism, a nothingness, you turn to the Father consciousness. You are the prodigal son returning to the... A false sense of self returning to your Father consciousness. Then you stand still. You ask, or you acknowledge, thy grace. Let thy grace flow, Father, thy grace. Then it pours out through you. You give your dollars. You give your service. You give your love. You give your wisdom, but it's not yours. It's the Christ flowing through you. You stand there, a living demonstration of the Christ, and you prove your dominion, that you don't need anything from this world, that you are not a personal sense of self, that you are the Father consciousness pouring out as the Christ. Then you enter one of the highest states of consciousness known to man, in which the Christ lives you. The Christ performs. The Christ does. You are the living Christ. And you find that that Christ consciousness now becomes your entire experience. And infinity pours through you, and infinity pours back to you. So says Joel, after realizing that the presence within is the power unto all things, one finds that everything comes by the grace of God. The teaching of Jesus is a teaching of individual responsibility. Our daily outer experience, success or failure, is the result of the activity of our own consciousness. Now we begin to see. Ah, I'm living by my own consciousness. Yes, it's ye. You must practice. You must pour out. You must prove you are Christ. You must prove your dominion. Anybody with spiritual awareness can simply look in your direction and see how you're living. How are you living? Are you still coming to the mystical principles list hoping to get after 5 years? Or are you one that is beginning to pour out? One that enjoys the fellowship there at the mystical principles list, but also one that is pouring out? We only have to look to see. And so, Joel says, if we decide 1 hour is the measure of truth we will take in, that means into our consciousness, we can expect 1/24th of a day of peace, joy, and love. Yes. If you turn within to the Father consciousness and stand on the truth, all that thou hast is mine, Father, you pour, you flow, your grace. That consciousness becomes our entire living experience. We prove it by living it. We are living in the consciousness of infinite fulfillment. And it not only pours out through us, but it becomes our living experience. It comes back to us. We are standing in that consciousness within and without. For within and without have become one. Joel says, my kingdom and this world must become one. And that's what he means. Your inner awareness must become your outer experience. Your awareness of the Father consciousness must pour out through you. And so, the last paragraph says, we come to the place of praying without ceasing, living in the Word, letting the Word live in us. But remember, the Word is not words. The Word is the conscious awareness of that Father consciousness. And so we live in the Father consciousness, and we let the Father consciousness live in us, abiding in the Word and letting the Word abide in us, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, living and moving and having our being in the consciousness of truth. We attain the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that's the last line in that paragraph. We attain the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means you attain or demonstrate the Father consciousness, your Christhood, out here, the Godhead bodily, the Father consciousness demonstrated, Christhood demonstrated. And so you see, spiritual dominion has nothing to do with knowing the truth and conquering something out here, does it? It's totally different than what we would have thought. Spiritual dominion has to do with your capacity to give. And not your capacity, but the Christ capacity, as you recognize your nothingness. You demonstrate and prove your dominion over this personal sense of self by acknowledging its nothingness, and then being a transparency for the Father consciousness, Christ, to flow. And you're either practicing it and living it, or you ain't. And so that's one of the chapters that I'm sure you're going to love. But it's the one that will give you dominion over your sense of lack, if you'll live by it. And then in Across the Desk, there was a couple things that were just so beautiful. He says, acquiring some knowledge of truth is the raft on which we travel to my kingdom. That's how we move from the letter to the spirit. Very important. The letter is knowing all the stuff we just talked about and being able to quote it online. And yet still, when you walk out that door in the morning, going out as a personal sense of self, which means living in the flesh and you can't please God, you do not come under the grace of God, you have no contact with God. No matter how much many of these quotes you quote to yourself throughout the day or anybody else. However, as you move to the Spirit, you allow the letter to be that raft which combined with meditation takes you, how does he phrase it here? I love this. We use the letter of truth as a raft to carry us across the river of our ignorance or unawareness. Then, upon reaching my kingdom, we drop the letter and clothe ourselves with the Spirit and thus attain freedom. You see, we move from that letter, from practicing that letter, combined with meditation, we move to have the actual conscious experience within ourselves of the Father consciousness. We feel it. We become aware of it. We have the conscious awareness of it. Then we are living in the Spirit. And then we invite that which we are aware of, that presence, to flow out. And we act on it. We prove it. We prove it. We prove our dominion through demonstration, through opening out a way in which that Christ may escape, may flow out, may pour. So our real freedom is not freedom from anything, but a freedom in Christ, which appears as freedom from fear, from body, from purse, from limitation of every nature. It's all about making the transition from living as a hypnotized personal sense of self to living out in the conscious awareness that all that the Father has is mine, that thy grace is my sufficiency, that I within can feed 5,000, I can pour out continuously. And finally, he says, to live in the continuous awareness. Now, that's an important word, awareness, not the continuous thought. To live in the continuous awareness of Emmanuel, or God, with us, is to float on a safe raft into my kingdom, the realm of eternal freedom and peace. Sing the song of Emmanuel, God with us, morning, noon, and night, and cross the river of ignorance or unawareness to my kingdom, or the conscious awareness of the presence, and know forever my peace. This is the same as his new horizon. Above the sense world is a universe of spirit governed by love. And so we attain dominion through sonship, through opening out a way, through standing on the principle, living it, practicing it, pouring out our dollars, our service, our love, our companionship, our forgiveness. Only it's not ours. As we awaken out of our unawareness, we awaken out of a universal sense of self, we rest back in that Father consciousness. Father, flow out, pour, give, share. And then we act on it out here. And as we live out as the Christ instead of as a human being, we no longer try to get anything. We are interested now only in being a transparency through which Christ gives. That's how we prove our dominion. That's how the Godhead becomes bodily real. Now, I can tell you, I do not live by these principles perfectly, but I am living by them. And I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but I am pouring out much, much more than this one talk a week. Much more. And I tell you that not as bragging on my personal sense of self. I'm telling you that so that you can know that this can be done, that you can do this. You can live this chapter. You can pour out. And you will find the universe pours right back. It pours right back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Jesus told us the truth. But you have to make a beginning, no matter how scary it is. As he said, if you only have a dollar, then give 10 cents. But you must begin to live this principle. Well, that brings us to the close of another chapter. I hope you live it. You have the power of dominion within you, but you have to live it. No one can live it for you. God bless you. Practice this principle, these principles, and see if they don't make a great, wondrous change in your experience. And I will be with you. Thank you.